Okay, let's begin. Purim this year, like every year, we have special mitzvahs that we're going to have the opportunity to perform. We have the mitzvah of the Sudas Purim, which this year we're probably going to be doing for most of us a little bit earlier than usual. We have the mitzvah of the Kriyas Megillah, the mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yonim, and we also have the special mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Ishtarayehu. And it's interesting that as a reaction to the miracle that took place in Shushan and around the world, Chazal, or at least the Chachamim of the time, the Sanhedrin of the time, were misake and mitzvahs to commemorate and to give thanks for the events of Purim. And in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yutes, and then again in Parsachov Beis, it says that the Yehudim HaProzim HaYoshvim Be'oria Prozos, that the Jews who lived in unwalled cities and open cities, Osim es yom arba osa l'chodesh ador simcho mishta v'yomtiv. So the 14th day of Adar became a great yomtiv, a simcha. There was party, there was great joy, there was a feast, a sudas yomtiv. And in addition to that, there was also mishloach manos ishtarayehu. There was a mitzvah that was instituted of mishloach manos. And then again, in Pasuk Chof Bei, just a few psukim later, Pasuk says, kayamim. This is Verahafochu, that this month was turned into what they thought was going to be a terrible massacre of the Jewish people. And it was a tremendous mourning that the Jews were in throughout those months. And Hashem, in his great kindness, turned and transformed those days from Yagal and Simcha, from Eva Liyamtiv. And as a result, there was Yimei Mishtev and Simcha. It's not for tonight's shiur, but you'll notice that in the first pasuk, the Gemara already points out, it says, Simcho Mishte V'yomtev. And in the second pasuk, it says, Yimei Mishte V'simcha. And it does not say Yomtev. But what it does say is, Mishloach Manos Ishtarayehu Matanos Lev Yonim. And here, once again, we see that there's a mitzvah that was instituted called Mishloach Manos Ishtarayehu. So tonight, we'll discuss a little bit in Halacha and Machshava, What's the nature of this mitzvah, Mishloach Manos Ishtarayehu? The Satmar Rav was once, I think it was on Purim, and someone came to him, or maybe it was after Purim, but someone came to him, the Svarim bring down, interestingly, that I saw this in a sefer called Meir Sha'arim. So in a sefer called Meir Sha'arim, there's a Maisa of the Satmar Rav. And a certain Rav came to the Satmar Rebbe and he said to him, he's very upset because someone sent him a Shalach Manas, and it was sent by this person with his young child who was dressed up as a monkey. And he thought it wasn't Bakovedik that this person should be sending a person like himself, the Shalach Manas, with a kid dressed up as a monkey. He thought it was a pagam. It was a slight in his kavod. So the Satmar Rav had a good sense of humor, and he said, you're lucky that he didn't send it to you with a real monkey, because if he sent it with a real monkey, he'd be yotze also. So the Rav said, kachava, true, really? You'd be yotze if you send it with a real monkey? What's the source? Where's the makor for such a thing? So the Satmar Rav said, oh, it's in the Chsam Sofer. It's Mefurish in the Chsam Sofer. So he said, really? Okay. So he went back, and the Rav probably spent a good few hours looking up the Chsam Sofer, and he probably looked in the Shalos and Shuvah. He looked in different places. He couldn't find it. Came back to the Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, where in the Chsam Sofer? I looked through all the Shalos and Shuvahs. He says, you're looking in the wrong place. It's in the Chidushim and Gittin Daf Chof Beis. Wasn't Chidushim Gittin Daf Chof Beis? Chidushim Gittin Daf Chof Beis. The Chsam Sofer deals with different elements of Shlichus. And in that context, the Chsam Sofer says as follows, a very lum de shavart, it's a really deep idea where he explains as follows. Sometimes the Torah or Chazal, there's a mitzvah which has to be done by an individual. It has to be done by the person who was involved in the mitzvah. For instance, there's a mitzvah of Kedushin to get married. So the halacha is that if Reuven is marrying Esther, so Reuven has to do the Maisa Kedushin. He has to be the one to give the Kedushin, to give the ring to Esther. Now there's a Chiddush that even if Reuven is unable, imagine Reuven is too scared. He wants to marry Esther, but he's too scared to come to the wedding. It's too many people, and he's going to be too frightened. So he sends his friend to go marry his kala for him at the Marina del Rey. He tells him, you go to Lakewood to the Simcha Hall. You go to the atrium for me, and I want you to do the kiddush. So the halacha is, believe it or not, that would work. I don't think that the in-laws would be too happy. But the halacha is that you're allowed to send the shliach. That's based on a klal, shlucha shel adam kamoso. That in order for that to work, only Reuven's marrying Esther here, not the shliach. So in order for the shliach to be able to perform the Maisa Kedushin, the shliach has to step into the shoes of Reuven. In order for that to happen, they have to be on similar grounds. The shliach has to be a bar das. He has to be someone who's of a bar mitzvah. It has to be someone who's Jewish, someone who's in the fold, who's a bar kedushin, a bar hachi. So in order to be able to perform a mitzvah, which has to be done by the baal, either the baal has to do it, or he can send a shliach, who steps into the shoes of the baal. That's called shlucha shel adam kamoso. But the Chasam Sofer says, sometimes, or maybe just once, there's a mitzvah where the pasuk says it doesn't actually have to be done by the baal. It never says that the baal has to do shlach manos. It says that shalach manos is that you should send the shliach. So if it just says that you should send the shliach, it doesn't have to be done by Reuven. It can be done by Reuven, or it can be done by the shliach. So in that context, where the baal, the person who's sending the shalach manos, does not have to do it. It never says that he has to do it. So then the shliach doesn't have to step into the shoes of the baal. And therefore, that shliach doesn't have to be a bar shlichus. It doesn't have to be a bar mitzvah. He can even be a child dressed up as a monkey. And the Chasam Sofer, he can even be a monkey himself. So the Sachma Rav said, you should be happy that Mishloach Manos doesn't require a bar shlichus at all. Not only can he send a child dressed up as a monkey, he can send a monkey as well. That's what the Sachma Rav answered this person. Now, the truth is, when I first saw this, I was a little bit upset at the person asking the question. I find it hard to believe that on Purim, someone's going to get upset that someone sends him a shalach manos because the kid is dressed up as a monkey. I mean, you have to loosen up a little bit, especially on Purim. I would tell that person, you should focus more on chayiv inish lepsu mebipuria ad lo yada. You have to loosen up a little bit, all right? Don't be so high, you have to be so arrogant. You can get him shalach manos. The monkey, dressed up as a monkey, no problem. But that being said, this Chasam Sofer is very, very important in terms of understanding, beginning to understand the nature of Mishloach Manos. Now, there is a interesting machlokas that's often quoted when we start to discuss the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. It's often discussed about the nature, what's the reason why Chazal were misake in this mitzvah, why the Rabbanim were misake in this mitzvah. It's a funny thing. We understand that on Purim, there's a special mitzvah to have a special seuda, seudas Purim. Why is that the reaction to the miracle, to the excitement after we were saved? Why was it that it has to be a mishnah? Why was that the reaction? So the truth is, it's quite simple. If you read the story, so the whole first parak of the Megillah says, it talks about how Achashverosh, in the third year of his malchus, had this unbelievable party. Now, you know, sometimes you go to a chassidish wedding, and, you know, instead of ending at 11:30, they end 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. You go, that was a party. That was a party. And sometimes, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and a Purim Mishulash, you can actually chap 2 days Purim, 3 days Purim, 4 days Purim. That was a party. Sheva brachas. They had a party for 180 days. Shmonim Ma'asiyom. Now you talk about a party. That was a party. 180 days. And after the 180 days, for the entire country that was under the dominion, the rulership of Achashverosh, there was an additional 7-day party for the people of Shushan. Another seven. If you weren't drunk enough, we have another 7 days to get completely drunk. And unfortunately, the Gemara says that the reason why the Jews of the time were chayiv, were actually guilty, and they were almost destroyed. Rachman al Tzalya, almost destroyed. The reason why is because nehene misudaso, nehenu misudaso shel Achashverosh, they took part of that seuda, and they enjoyed that suuda, that whatever what was going on there, I'm sure it wasn't just divrei Torah and a batchin. There's some very bad stuff going on at that suuda. And they enjoyed it. They had a great time. Hashem says, all right, I'm done with these people. And he sends Haman. So as a result of the misake in that suuda that took place during that third year of the Zman, of the Malchus of Achashverosh, so we're misaking that by having a suuda. But exactly what is the reason for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? How is that the reaction to what took place in Shushan then, or what took place in the 127 Medinas? Why is that the reaction? So in order to understand the nature of this special mitzvah, Mishloach Manos, we look at a shayla. Shayla comes up, the Trumas Hadeshin asks the following question. He wants to know, let's say, or is one allowed to send non-food items as a Mishloach Manos, as Shalach Manos? When I was a kid, growing up in Bar Park, there was one particular family. I looked forward all year long to getting their Shalach Manos. I'm telling you, it was all year long. Because first of all, besides the fact that they had unbelievable candy and they had food, real food and candy, they also sent prizes and games for the kids. Remember those little books, the yes and no books that you'd have to fill out with these special markers? I always loved those books. I remember fighting with my brother and sister for the, you know, who was gonna, I loved getting the Shalach Manos. And the truth is, I wasn't so interested in the candy and the food because I had so much of that at home from all the other Shalach Manos. But the book I wanted. So the question is, can someone be Yotze Shalach Manos by just sending, forget about the candy, forget about the food, just send, it's very cold. It's cold outside. I'm going to send someone a scarf and gloves. Scarf and gloves. What would you rather? A Hershey bar and a chocolate milk or a good scarf and gloves? Listen, if anybody's going to be sending me a Shalach Manos, I'll take the scarf and gloves any day. I'm just joking, by the way. Don't do it. Send whatever you want. But the point is, you know, why not a scarf? It's so much candy, but a scarf and gloves could actually come in handy, right? By the way, a new van wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt either. A new van wouldn't hurt. It's not a bad idea either. Once we're sending things that are not food items, right? So the Trumas Hadeshin says it can't be done. Scrap it. Scratch it. No car, no glove, no scarf, no coat, no yes and no books. You have to send food items. Why? Trumas Hadeshin understands that the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim and the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos or Hainuach, they're basically the same idea. The yesod of both mitzvahs is that we have to help our friends, our family, neighbors, other Jews, to make sure that they have what they need in order to celebrate Purim properly. We do that in two ways. One, we give a check, we give money, we give cash. That's Matanos Levyonim. And two, we give food. And the reason why we're giving food is because the food is something that they'll be able to use at the Suda. In a sense, Mishloach Manos is simply another way of giving tzedakah. One way to give tzedakah, usually we give tzedakah with money. And Mishloach Manos is that you have to give tzedakah by giving something that you can actually use for the Suda. Now, by the way, if that is in fact the yesod and the nature of the mitzvah, it might make more sense that instead of giving a chocolate bar and sugar sticks, might make more sense to give a challah and a bottle of grape juice, because that's something you could actually use at the Suda. Maybe a piece of kugel, a slice of chicken, something like that. But just a Hershey bar, according to the Trumas Hadeshin, it's not part of the Suda. If it's not part of the Suda, what shaychus? You're not really mekayim the mitzvah, at least not, you know, to the full extent. That's what the Trumas Hadeshin writes. However, it is brought down in Svarim. The Mari Asad, Yehuda Asad, who lived during the time of the Chassam Sofer, was one of the Gedoli Hador. He brings down that it was a minhag of great Gedolim to send their own Svarim as Shalach Manos. Matter of fact, he writes in the Sefer that there's a Sefer that was written on the Megillas Esther by Rav Shlomo Alkebetz. Rav Shlomo Alkebetz lived in the 1500s in Sfat. He was the author of the Lechadodi. He was the composer of the song Lechadodi. Matter of fact, if you want to see his name, I'm sure you may know, the beginning of Lechadodi, the first letters of the stanzas of Lechadodi spell out Shlomo Halevi, right? Shamor, and Likras, and Mikdash, and Hisnari, Hisori, That spells out Lo Sevoshi. That spells out Shlomo HaLevi. Shlomo HaLevi wrote many Svarim. One of the Svarim that he wrote is a Sefer on Megillas Esther. And apparently, he was very, very poor. He wanted to send a nice Shalach Manos to his father-in-law. He didn't really have anything to send. So he sent him a copy, or maybe the first, of his Svarim called Manos HaLevi. And that was the Shalach Manos. So apparently, the Manos HaLevi held that sending the Manos HaLevi is Shalach Manos, because that's what he actually did. He actually sent that as a Shalach Manos. I think the Ramah has a Sefer also on Purim, and the Ramah apparently sent his Sefer, maybe to his in-laws as a Shalach Manos. So the question is, yeah, but that's not going to, listen, the Sefer may be great, but it's not going to work for the Suda. I've never seen someone eat a Manos HaLevi at the Suda's Purim. Doesn't work. So apparently the Manos HaLevi held, and he writes this clearly in his Sefer, that the reason for Mishloach Manos is not a type of stock, it's something else entirely. It's actually coming to be Mesakin, coming to fix a problem. In the beginning of the Megillah, in Paragimel, when Haman comes onto the scene, so he approaches Achashverosh, he says to him, this is in Paragimel, Pasuk Ches. Haman comes onto the scene, and he wants to get rid of the Jews. He wants to get rid of the Jews, he wants to destroy the Jewish people. And he wants to destroy the Jewish people. Why does he want to destroy the Jewish people? Because one Jew won't bow down to him. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave. So he's willing to throw away his entire life because one Jew doesn't bow down to him. That's what some people do. They can throw away this one. He has so much. He was so wealthy. He had such power. He had such honor. One Jew doesn't bow down, and he makes himself crazy. And that's the beginning of his downfall. He approaches Achashverosh and says, you know, there's a people that live among in your kingdom that we don't need. They stay to themselves. They don't marry in. They don't follow our own. They don't follow our laws. They have their own Yom Tovim. They're not friendly. And the Pasuk says, Vayomer Haman l'melech Achashverosh, yeshnam am echad mufuzar u'mufarah bein ha'amim. There's a people that's scattered around your kingdom. B'chol medinas malchuzar, they're everywhere. They don't keep your laws. They have their own funny Yom Tovim, their own funny holidays. And it's not worth keeping them. Allow me to destroy. We're going to have a massacre on one day. We're going to have a one-day massacre. And we're going to wipe them out. Right? Anoshim, v'noshim, v'taf. Men, women, and children, they're all going to be wiped out. Minar, v'yadzokin, taf, v'noshim, v'yom echad. 13th day of Adar is the day of reckoning. The day there's going to be a massacre across all of the Medinos of the Malchus of Achashverosh. They're going to destroy the Jewish people. How does this begin? What does he say to Achashverosh that Kazim convinced? There's a nation that's completely scattered. It's completely scattered, which means that they don't have any achdus. Forget about getting along with non-Jews. They can't even get along with themselves. They're always fighting, and they're always different sects, and they're always having all different problems. My Rebbe, your Rebbe, this community, that community, they can't get along. We don't need them. So as a result of that claim that Haman, Sarva Oyev Haman HaRazeh, has against the Jewish people, in order to be misakin that claim, Chazal were instituted this mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Manos means the opposite. We're not splintered. We're one people, and we care about each other, and we love each other, and we have great friendships and good relationships. It's a very, very special community of people who care about each other. So in order to be misakin, that claim, that's why they instituted the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, to increase the friendship by the Jewish people. In which case, if that's true, you don't have to send food. We're back to the gloves and scarf. We're back to the svarim. You can send anything that's going to add friendship, that's going to increase the ahava, the achva, the shalom areyus. Now the pasuk does say mishloach manos ishlerei ehu, which probably means that you have to give to a Jewish person. But I thought, again, this is not the halacha. We don't hold like this. But I thought that the claim that Haman said was that we don't care about anybody who's not Jewish. We're to ourselves. We're to ourselves. I thought that there's nothing wrong if one wanted to. I'm not saying that one is mekayim the mitzvah. If one wanted to bring a shalach manos to the non-Jewish neighbor, that would be a tikkun of this claim that Haman has. You can give to the Jewish neighbors too. You have to be mekayim the mitzvah. Re'ehu means a Jew, but nothing wrong. We're trying to increase friendships among non-Jews also. That's probably a smart thing and a proper thing to do as well. To undo the claim that Haman has, that they're not interested in anything. It's not true. We have an interest in our neighbors as well. So that's a question. Is the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos a type of tzedakah to help someone to make sure that people have enough for their Sudas Purim? It's a type of tzedakah. But instead of giving tzedakah with money, we give tzedakah with food. Or is it something that we do to give gifts? We give gifts to be marba reyus. And then if that's true, you don't have to give food. You can give games. You can give anything you want. Something that you think someone would actually appreciate. Now, it happens, or it certainly could happen, that Rama brings down the following situation. A person, you go to someone's house. You knock on the doorbell. You're dressed as a monkey. You're not dressed as a monkey. Either way. Knock on the doorbell, says, who is it? Or the door is open, the Weiss family. Person opens up the door, he says, oh, the Weisses, thank you, come in. We have a shalach manos for you. He goes, listen, look at my table. Do you know how much junk I have already? You look at all this candy. What do I need? I thank you, I appreciate it. I'm Michael. Please keep the shalach manos. Keep the shalach manos. He said, no, I want to give it to you. Keep the shalach manos. I want you to keep it. I don't need it. I don't want it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't want it. So the Rama wants to know, is one mekayim the mitzvah of mishloach manos if the person rejects the shalach manos? If you reject it, I'm moichel. Do you mekayim shalach manos? So the Chasam Sofer says that it's talui, it's dependent on our two reasons for shalach manos. If the purpose of shalach manos is that you have to give tzedakah to someone to make sure they have enough for the sudas purim, so you didn't give the tzedakah, the person was meichel, so you have to find someone else to give the shalach manos to. And ideally, you'd give it to someone who actually needs the shalach manos, maybe for their suda. But if you understand that the purpose of the mitzvah is like the manos halevi, first of all, you don't have to give food. You can give anything you want. And besides the fact, it's all about increasing friendship. So if the person understands and sees that you tried, that you brought, and he just doesn't want it, so you've mekayim the mitzvah of mishloach manos. You can actually be mekayim the mitzvah of mishloach manos ishtereyehu by not giving any shalach manos, just by trying to give the shalach manos. The person rejects it. You mekayim your mitzvah. You can eat the stuff yourself. That's what the Chasam Sofer says. That this very much relates to another very interesting question that's brought by the different svarim. And that is, how come we don't make a bracha in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? You make a bracha on Al-Mikra Megillah. Now, we're not talking about the bracha Shechiyanu. When you make a Shechiyanu on the Megillah, you have a mind for all the mitzvahs Hayom. We're talking about a brichas ha-mitzvah. Before you do a mitzvah, usually we make a bracha. Make a bracha. Share the Shom Zos HaMitzvahnu Al-Mitzvahs Mishloach Manos Ishtarayehu. Something like that. Lekaye mitzvahs Litein Mishloach Manos. Well, why would we not make a bracha on this beautiful mitzvah? Why not make a bracha? So some suggest that the reason why you don't make a bracha is the same reason why you might not make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. When you give tzedakah, you don't make a bracha. Why? I think the Rashba in the Tshuvas brings down that you don't make a bracha when you give tzedakah is because maybe you're going to give a person tzedakah, the person's not going to want it. Now, usually that doesn't happen. Usually you give tzedakah, someone takes it. But once in a while it can happen. Where someone comes, this has happened, if someone comes, you give the person a dollar, he says, no, $10. $10. I said, no, I'm giving you, you want a dollar? It's a dollar. You know what? I'm not giving you more than $5, $10, or I'm not taking anything. Okay, fine. So don't take, right? You don't have to, you can't force me to how much to give. So the reason why you don't make a bracha is because imagine a sherry to the Shazam, it's going to al mitzvah stalker. And then I take out my wallet and I try to give the person stock. He says, no, I'm not taking it. So then that means you made a bracha levatala. So we don't make a bracha mitzvah tzedakah. So maybe that's the reason you don't make a bracha on the shalach manos. If you hold that if one is mochel on the shalach manos, that you're not yoytze the mitzvah, well, maybe that's why you don't make a bracha on shalach manos. Because you're going to make the bracha, you're about to ring on the doorbell. Baruch Hashem, l'kenem ha'olam, share it to the Shor Zot Zvanu al mitzvahs mishloach manos. And then you ring the doorbell, you give the guy, you give your friend who was your friend, you give him the shalach manos, and he doesn't accept it. It's a bracha levatala. So therefore, we don't make a bracha mishloach manos. That's one reason. However, if you hold that even if the person's mochel, you mekayim the mitzvah, because it's about increasing friendship, enhancing relationships. So then why wouldn't you make a bracha? Even if the person rejects it, you mekayim the mitzvah. So for this, we turn to the Sri Deish, who has a beautiful answer that I like to quote every year. But the Sri Deish writes that very often when one makes a bracha, it enhances the mitzvah. The Ritva writes in Psachim Dav Zayin that the reason why Chazal were misake in Berachas HaMitzvahs to make a bracha before one does a mitzvah is in order to tap into a spiritual realm. You know, we do mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs that we do are physical mitzvahs. We take a palm branch, we take an esrog, we put on tefillin, we wrap leather straps around our arms, right? We light candles, we put on tzitzis. Usually the mitzvahs that we do are physical actions that we do with things from this world. We blow a shofar. So the Ritva says, when one makes a bracha, that's more of a spirit. It's not physical. It's when we use our words to praise Hashem, it's an avoda ruchanit. And he says it makes sense to do an avoda ruchani before avoda gashmi. Now, if you would have told me that idea, I would have said, that's from a chassidish sefer. That's not something the Rishonim says. Ritva says that's not. The Ritva writes that avoda ruchani is before the avoda gashmi. Beautiful idea. Beautiful idea. So very often the mitzvah enhances, I'm sorry, the bracha enhances the mitzvah. But the Sri Deish says, if we were to make a bracha before Mishloach Manos, it would actually detract from the mitzvah. It would detract from the mitzvah. Why? Because the whole purpose, according to the way we're saying from the Manos HaLevi, of giving the Shalach Manos is to enhance and increase friendship. So what are you going to do? I'm going to go to Harold's house. I'm going to bring him Shalach Manos. Say, Harold, wait 1 second. I got to make a bracha. I got to make a bracha to thank Hashem for giving me the mitzvah to give you this present. Because in a million years, I would never come to your house to give you a present. There's no way. But because Hashem told me to do it, that's why I'm doing it. So give me a big hug. He's like, get out of here. What do you think? I don't need your friendship because Hashem told you to give a mitzvah. So the Sudeh says, sometimes the bracha takes away from the mitzvah. If you make a bracha, I'm only giving you this because Chazal said I have to do this, otherwise I wouldn't be doing it. So that's not enhancing the mitzvah. That bracha would be taking away from the mitzvah. And by the way, Lefi Zeh, we understand that in truth, if we think about it, almost every Bein Odom LaChavero mitzvah doesn't have a bracha for the same reason. A Bein Odom LaMakom, you put on tefillin, you blow shofar, you shake lulav, you eat matzah, between us and Hashem, you make a bracha, you connect to Hashem. But anytime it's a Bein Odom LaChavero between man and man, between individuals, between human beings. So then if you say, I'm only visiting you. I remember, I didn't hear this from Rav Lachman himself, but I always like to tell over because I heard it in the name of Rav Lachman. The Rav Lachman once told over that when he was a bacher in yeshiva, so I think he learned in Chevron, if I remember correctly. So he once during one of the chaburas, I guess if anybody goes to KBY or knows Rav Blachman can verify the story. But I heard that he said once to one of his friends, "Hey, why don't you come over to my dorm afterwards and we'll schmooze." So the friend said to him, "Why should I come to your dorm room?" So he says, "Because why not? We can hang out." He said, "Are you sick? Are you a chola? I want to be Mavakar Cholim." He says, "What din do you have?" "What din do I?" So Rav Lachman says, "I don't have a din. I'm not a cheftza. I'm not an esrog. You don't have to make a bracha on me. I'm not a lulav. You should shake me." You know, the guy, that's a person who doesn't understand the idea of Bin Adam Lachavera. Bin Adam Lachavera means that we're friends because we care about each other. Not just because Hashem commanded us to be friends. So that's why we don't make brachas on Ben Adam LaChaveros. Can you think of one Ben Adam LaChavero? Stock, you don't make a bracha, keep it avayim, you don't make a bracha, give me those chasadim, bikur cholamach, nosis orchim. Imagine you invite guests over for Shabbos. Wait 1 second before you come into the house, let me make a bracha on you, and then I'll invite you in. It doesn't even make sense. It rubs us the wrong way. That's what the Sri Deish says. Since the whole nature of Mishloach Maros is reyus, is to enhance reyus, therefore the bracha would actually take away from the reyus. That's why we don't make the bracha. By the way, the Maram Shik, who was also a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, writes that the same question of whether it's reyus, friendship, or if it's about staka, will play the role in determining whether one can send Shalach Manos anonymously. Sometimes people will give money to a shul, give $18, $100, whatever it is to a shul, and they put their name on a list. And then they send me Shalach Manos, and I look at the list. Schreiber and Haberman and all the Turk, everybody's on the list. Oh, very nice. And then there's one behind the bottom. Anonymous gave me Shalach Manos. He didn't want to say anonymous. So the Maram Shik wants to know, can you be Yotze Shalach Manos by anonymous? Elam shame. It was funny. I grew up in a shul. The whole shul had 18 people. So it wasn't like, you know, so when they would raffle off different aliyahs on the Yom Tovim. So it was $18. You know, we never went very high. We got up to 60, you know, $72 was as high as we went. So we sort of $10, high dollar. So when the guy right behind me would go, anonymous, $36. You know, it's one thing, you know, if there's 1,000 people on the shul, a guy sticks up his hand. The guy right behind me, anonymous, $36, you know, Elam shame. we're funny people. So can you be Yaitza Shalach Manos anonymously? So if the Indian is stalker, yeah, of course. A matter of fact, we know that if one gives anonymously, it's even better. A matter of fact, it's better. I don't know who it's given to, and they don't know who it comes from. It's an Indian of stalker. But if Mishloach Manos is to increase and to enhance and to make our friendships better, so then anonymous, how's that helping the friendship? I don't know who gave it. I can't feel the love if I don't know who's sending it to me. So you wouldn't be Yaitza with anonymous, with Elam Shame, if you send Shalach Manos in such a way. So we discussed a whole bunch of very interesting in Yonim. Let's also talk about something very interesting from the Binyan Seal. We started the Chabura tonight with the Chassam Sofer, right? With the Chassam Sofer that was quoted by the Satmarov. The Satmarov said an interesting pshat that not only can you send the shliach, but it's a different type of shliach. Shalach Manos is sent with a different type of shliach. Generally, you need to say Shluchu Shel Adam is Kamoso, because in the area of, let's say, of Kiddushin, where a man is marrying a woman, so the man is marrying the woman. If he sends a shliach, that shliach has to step into his shoes in order for the man to marry the woman. So if Reuven wants to marry Esther, so we said if Reuven wants to send a shliach, that shliach has to be like Reuven. He has to be a Jew. He has to be a bar mitzvah. He has to understand what's going on. However, by Shalach Manos, it never has to be done by the Baal. The Pasuk says you can send a Shliach. So if you send a Shliach, the Shliach doesn't have to be like the Baal. And therefore, the Shliach doesn't have to be Kamoso. It doesn't have to be a Bar Shlichus. It could be a non-Jew. It could be the male. It could be a monkey. It could be anybody. You can leave it on the doorstep and the person picks it up. You yoitza. So you can either send the shalach, you can bring the shalach manos yourself, or you can send it ayidei shliach, and the shliach can even be a monkey. That's what the Satmarov told that person who was upset that the shalach manos was sent by a child who was dressed up as a monkey. The Satmarov said, you're lucky it wasn't an actual monkey, that would be good too. The Binyan Sion has a fantastic chiddush. Binyan Sion says, he takes it a step further. The Pasuk says, Mishloach manos ishle reyehu. So listen to this. Mishloach manos ish l'reyehu. So usually we say shlucho she'odom kamoso. A man wants to get married. There's a tremendous chiddush that the man doesn't have to be mekadesh the woman himself. He could send someone, a shliach, with the ring, and that shliach will be mekadesh the woman for Reuven. So something that has to be done by the Baal can also be done by the shliach. But when it comes to the mitzvah of mishloach manos, there, the pasuk says it should be done by a shliach. Mishloach manos ish dereyehu. Each person should send it to his friend through a shliach, mishloach manos. And if that's true, the Binyan Tzion says, even though we've learned that shlucho shel adam is kamoso, but where the Torah requires, or the Navi requires, when the Megillah requires a shliach, who says that kamoso is like a shliach? And therefore he concludes that shalach manos dafka has to be sent ayidei shliach. It's not an option. Yeah, you can. Not only can you send it, not only can you take the shalach manos yourself, but you can send it with your child dressed up as a monkey, and you can send it with a monkey. And the Binyan Tzion says, no, it dafka has to be a shliach. You cannot do it. Why? Because the pasuk says it has to be a shliach. Who says that the Baal is like a shliach? The shliach can be like a Baal, but who says the Baal can be like a shliach? And therefore the Binyan Tzion says that you need shlichus dafka. You need shlichus dafka. Now we don't hold like this. Rabbi Yosef thought that this was not correct at all. Absolutely halacha lemaisa. We hold that a person, if he wants to be machmir, he can bring the shalach manos himself. It's not really a chumrah. You could do it yourself, that's for sure. However, let's try to understand the machshava behind this binyan tzion. Is there another reason why the pasuk dafka states this mitzvah in a way that sounds like it really should be done ayidei shliach? Mishloach manos ishtereyehu. Why should it be done ayidei shliach? So there's two reasons that are given. One reason is as follows. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you're walking down the block with your little kids, right? With like, you know, a bag or a wagon full of like, you know, 25 shalach manos. And you're delivering them to this person, to that person, up the block. You have a whole list of people. And then as you're walking up the block, someone comes up with the car on Purim, of course, and they stop. And you bump into them and you realize they weren't on your list. I forgot to put them on my list. I wasn't planning to put them on my list. So you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, you're here. Take a shalach manos. So you know the person in the car is thinking, was he going to give me a shalach manos? Now, I don't think on Purim anybody's thinking this anyway. We're way above this and past this. But what enhances friendship more? When you bring it yourself, when you send the shliach. You see, if you bring it yourself, it's possible you just happen to be passing by the person's house. So you said, oh, you know what? I'll give the shalach manos. But when you send the shliach, you know what that means? It means I thought about it. It means I have a list of people. See, my shliach is not going to just give it to anyone. My shliach is going to give it to the people that I told him or her to give it to. So because when you send the shliach, it actually makes the person who's mekabel the shloach manos feel like they were really on the list. They made it. They received shloach manos because the Baal was thinking about them. Oh, that's so it could be that if the nature of mishloach manos is to enhance friendship and reyos and ahava and achva among klal Yisrael, so then maybe a shliach does even a better job than if you sent it yourself. But in truth, there's an additional reason of why maybe a shliach is even better than sending it yourself. And that could be as follows. You know, the Gemara says different reasons of why we don't say halal on Purim. How can we not say halal? It's an interesting thing. We don't say halal on the Yom Tov of Purim. Why not? So one answer is because it was a nes that happened in Chutz Laretz. Okay, what about Yitzias Mitzrayim? That happened in Chutz Laretz. So the Gemara deals with these different questions. One of the reasons that are given of why we don't say halal on Purim is that the premise of the question is wrong. In fact, we do say halal on Purim. Really? I don't remember saying halal on Purim. The answer is that the Kriyas HaMegillah itself is the halal. Kriyasa Zuhilula. That's what the Gemara in Megillah says. So But we still have to ask a question. And Rav Hutna deals with this in his Pachad Yitzchak, where he writes, but still, but why don't we say a regular halal on Purim? Why do we say halal b'derech kriyas Megillah? Would it be so bad to say kriyas Megillah and halal? And it's a short davening. It's a very short davening Purim. It's a 40-minute davening. You can add a halal. Be 45 minutes, and then you read Megillah. It's not so, you know, it'll be very nice. Why do we not say halal? Because the Kriyas Megillah is the halal. You can't say halal too? So the Rav Hutner explains, since the whole nature of the day is recognizing Hashem's hidden hand. Of course, these were all miracles, but like the Ramban at the end of Parashas Bo says, these are not outward miracles. They're Nisim Nistarim, not Nisim Gluyim. And it's our recognition of Hashem working from behind the scenes. So it's Hashem's hidden hand that we're appreciating and recognizing and giving Shevach for on Purim. So therefore, the Nes is done happens in a hidden way. The Hallel also happens in a hidden way. So we don't say an outward Hallel. We actually say an inward Hallel that's couched, that's hidden inside the Megillah. Very interesting thought. That the Kriyas also, that we should recognize, even when we're reading Megillah, that's also Shevach Hashem. Not all the time, we actually have to say the Hallel to be Mahalo the Rabbanu Shalom. So based on this, we can also explain why maybe the Mishloach Manos is even better when you send the Shliach. Why? Because it means that the Baal Habas, who's sending the Mishloach Manos, is hidden behind the scenes. Person comes with a Shalach Manos and he says, this is not from me. So on the Baal Abbas, that means the Baal Abbas is hidden. He's in his house. He's home. And someone else is out there delivering the Mishloach Manos. It also, in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, is a recognition of the idea that the Baal Abbas is behind the scenes. The same way the Baal Abbas, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is behind the scenes of the entire events of the Kriyas, of the whole Megillah, of the whole story. So too, when we send Mishloach Manos, we're also, in a certain sense, also playing and showing, you see what we've learned through this, the events of Purim? We've learned that when you see something, there's always something behind it. There's always the Ribbono Shel Olam behind it. Just because you see someone giving Mishloach Manos, there's someone who's giving us what it is that we need, who's behind it. The Parnasa doesn't come from us. It comes from the Rabbanu Shalom, who's behind us, who's the Baal Abbas, who's behind running the scenes. And that's one of another reason, perhaps, of why we could understand the interesting position of the Binyan Siyom, a machshava behind the interesting position of the Binyan Siyom, that Shloach Manos should dafka be done, ayidei Shliach, Bezras Hashem, we should be zoche, to perform this mitzvah with great simcha, this Purim, and many Purims to come. Wish everyone a good Shabbos. And a good Yom Tov, a good Purim.